The United Nations and aid organisations around the world observed the first World Humanitarian Day on August the 19th, recalling all those who have lost their lives while bringing assistance to people in situations of crisis or conflict. Established by the General Assembly of the United Nations in December 2008, the observance is aimed at increasing public understanding about the tireless work of those who put their lives at risk to bring humanitarian aid to others. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon paid tribute to all those who have been killed or injured while carrying out such crucial activities in increasingly difficult and dangerous situations. The UN says 260 humanitarian aid workers were killed, abducted or harmed in attacks in 2008. In fact, the statistics show that the fatality rate for international aid workers last year exceeded that of UN peacekeeping troops.
The environments they're working in are getting more dangerous, and I think it's important to know that if something happens to one of us, that isn't taken for granted.
Alistair Dutton is humanitarian director for Caritas Internationalis, the global confederation of Catholic aid and development agencies. Marking this first World Humanitarian Day, Caritas called on governments worldwide to allow aid agencies access to the most vulnerable communities, saying its ability to support people in conflicts has been severely restricted by the actions of governments over the last 18 months in countries such as Zimbabwe, Gaza, Sri Lanka or Sudan. Alistair talked to my colleague Lydia O'Kane about the importance of this annual observance and the increasing dangers that aid workers face in countries around the world.
Well, as you say, it's the first World Humanitarian Day. And really its purpose is twofold. It's to commemorate those who have given their lives in the course of trying to hand out humanitarian assistance to those who need it. And secondly, it's to increase people's understanding of what humanitarian assistance is and what that means worldwide. It's on the 19th of August because in 2003 on that day, the United Nations office was bombed in Baghdad, and there were 22 people killed in that one incident alone. So we're commemorating it on the anniversary of that day, but very much bearing in mind all those who've given their lives.
Alistair, it is a sad fact. I was just looking at a report, and attacks against aid workers have increased. And even last year, in 2008, 260 aid workers were victims of violent attacks. And we're looking at some also in different countries, in Sudan, Darfur area, Afghanistan and Somalia. People who are trying to help are being targeted.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as you say, the number in 2008 was 260, and that's up from 69 in 1998, so only 10 years earlier. We are seeing some of the theatres we're working in getting increasingly dangerous for aid workers, and that's a reality we have to manage as we're trying to continue to get the help to those who need it. And unfortunately, it means that on occasions we lose close friends and colleagues in the course of their work.
I mean, is there a danger in some instances that, aid organisations just can't put their aid workers at risk, that they have to pull them out?
It varies considerably. It varies very much from place to place and also with organisations. Most of the humanitarian organisations, the non-governmental organisations, the names one would normally associate with humanitarianism. So most of the members of the Caritas, most of the northern members of the Caritas Confederation, the likes of Oxfam, Save the Children, World Vision, etc. Security management is something we take very seriously, and an assessment of what the risks people would face is very much a part of the decision as to whether we would send people. And there are areas of Iraq or Afghanistan, bits of Darfur, that we wouldn't ask people to work in at the moment. I think one of the reason I'm kind of hedging a bit when I talk about Caritas is that when we look at our national members, so the church in the countries we're talking about, the staff, the priests, sisters and laity who work for these national caritases, it's not a new situation for them. This is their home. They come from these areas. Their families still live in these areas, and they've always worked in these areas. So to say we wouldn't work in those settings would not recognise the great work that goes on by those people who come from those areas. And so one of the things we always say is before the international members arrive, the local church, the local Caritas is already working. And part of the reason I think, well, certainly when I look at some of the deaths we've had in the last year, I think our staff are much less willing to leave the people behind because they would see themselves as the pastors of those people themselves. In Sri Lanka earlier this year, very unfortunately, we had a driver who was killed in the no-fire zone. Raj was a man of 26 who came from Jaffna and was killed in the no-fire zone. And he was with the priests and the sisters who, alongside the people who were caught in that area. And very much the line that Caritas, the priests and the sisters and all the staff took was that they could not leave their own people behind. And so while other aid agencies were not working in the non-fire zone, with the exception of Caritas and the Red Cross, they were the only two who did remain. And for the church, that was very much because they said, we are the local church, we can't leave the local people.
Alistair, how important do you think it is to have days like this, a day like this, especially when you're honouring people that are killed or injured on the front lines of conflict?
I do think it's incredibly important. I think it's very important for the friends and families of those who have been killed to know that we don't take for granted the lives of their loved ones that were lost in the course of the work we do and them fulfilling what they saw as their duty in that work. I think it's also very important to all of our staff, to all humanitarian workers across the globe, because, as we've already said, the environments they're working in are getting more dangerous. And I think it's important to know that if something happens to one of us, that isn't taken for granted. You know, that the sacrifice we make is recognised. I don't want to overplay that. I'm not trying to, you know, say, aren't we wonderful, or that there's some kind of heroism or almost bloodthirsty search for martyrdom going on here. But I think it is dangerous, and it would be wrong for those who go out there every day if we didn't mark the very sad occasions when something bad happens. I think we do have to, on World Humanitarian Day, though, remember all those who lose their lives. And first and foremost, that is the people themselves who are caught up in the conflicts or the various different humanitarian disasters. In number, they far outweigh the aid workers who are killed. And also, it is they and their communities who are blighted by the emergencies in the first place. So I think it is important to remember our own staff, those who have died and those who go out into these areas. But I think we need to bear in mind everybody caught up in emergencies rather than just the aid workers themselves.
My thanks there to Alistair Dutton, Humanitarian Director for Caritas Internationalis, talking to my colleague Lydia O'Kane.